Thank you for taking part, every one of you that's taken part in the service so far. Much appreciated. In fact, we want to say thank you for all the cards and gifts we've already received as a Burke family. They're very appreciated. We feel very loved, accepted, and yeah, just. And we want to invite you to our Christmas come and go. It's been in the bulletin for a few weeks. If you can make it, stop by for a short time this afternoon at our house. That would be great to see you there. One way we want to say thank you to you as well. Just converse and encourage one another. Who's in our Advent reading this morning? God has come to be enjoyed. Keep that in mind this morning. Quite a while ago, I asked Darren if he would take on the Advent series, and then he found the Advent conspiracy series, and so he's given me this week, Christmas Can Still Change the World, and it's to love all. Love can still change the world. Darren dealt with, worship fully 1 week, and then he put 2 weeks together because we had a Christmas concert last week. We had spend less and give more put together in 1 week. And now we have love all. And this is interactive, so you can actually answer. Lots of my questions are just thrown out there for us to think. But think about this. What do you think of when you hear the phrase love all? Any thoughts? Love all what? Love all your vegetables? Clean them off your plate before you get seconds. Love all what? People. Love all people. Yeah, love all people. Other thoughts? Each other. That's sometimes harder, hey? The ones we're in close relationship with. I can love that guy over there, but these ones that I know, and they can hurt me the worst because I love them the most. That's way harder, isn't it? What else do you think? Love all. Love your neighbors. Yeah. Jesus defined that for us by telling us a story, right? Good. Other thoughts? Love all. Yeah, I heard family. And I heard the Muslims around the world, different places, right? We can love people that we don't necessarily agree with in every way, can we? Scripture says to even love our enemies and pray for those who curse you. Love all, this isn't just a cute phrase, right? It sounds so nice, but in reality, we want to live it out in a safe way. Not in a safe way, as in the store, but safely, disconnected. I'll love you to this extent. I'll send a little money, or I'll do this, or I'll do that. But, I mean, love, like the story of love your neighbor? Really, really love all? That's much harder. I want to introduce something this morning. I call it a love meter. It is just an empty milk jug. Well, not empty anymore. Got filled with something else, just so you can see it. And it's a meter that, I call it a meter, because we can see through this jug how full it is. And I didn't cover it with paper, but I should have. Because some of you have worked with boilers or different things where this would be solid metal. And the only way you can know is by a little tube, and that's why I took a milk jug, because we have this little tube here, and we can see how full it is over in the little tube, even if we couldn't see through this part. And it's a love meter, so we can easily just see, and we could tick it off here. So what's our love look like? If we're called to love all, when it's sent out into the world, love all, we can kind of measure our love all, but it's really a reflection of what's in the whole tank. And I'll get to that more later on. We'll come back to our love meter. But it's loving all the way God describes it, not the way we tend to redefine it. And so if you're following along, in the there's a insert in your bulletins with an outline there, or not an outline, some things to fill in. There's only four words to fill in. And loving all begins right where we're at with Christmas. That love came down. God is love, it says in 1 John 4:8, as well as in 16. Love is first and foremost a person. Love came down. I mean, we celebrate it at Christmas, but like been mentioned several times, we can just get used to the story and it doesn't actually impact our lives. God became human. It's amazing. Almighty God. He's in the glory of heaven and he gives that up. He's born as a helpless baby in a stinky manger coming from heaven. It's powerful. It's an agape love. You've probably heard about this before, a Greek word meaning a selfless, unconditional love. It's sacrificial. And it perfectly describes the kind of love Jesus has for his followers. Jesus lived out agape love, this self-sacrificing love. That's the kind of love, love all, that we're commanded to live out in the world. It's self-sacrificing. And he gives himself for the sins of the world. For God so loved, agape'd the world, that he gave his one and only Son. That whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He's made a way that we can be in right relationship with him. Love came down to bridge the great cavity, the great chasm that we couldn't cross on our own. And yet this story can sort of get old and we can just tell it and we see a cute little baby in a manger and we go home feeling, oh, isn't that cute, and we're warm and fuzzy. But love came down and we lose the miraculous in the midst of it. Are we still amazed when we hear this story? That God, Almighty God, comes and he's fully man and he's fully human. And it's more than we can wrap our heads around. And yet that's exactly what just happened. That it changes history. And it has the power. He has the power, right? Love is first and foremost a person. To change our world still today. Today, through us. Love came down. But he can't change the world through us unless love enters in. It must be received personally. He came. He so loved the world that he gave his Son. And we celebrate it here at Christmas. And yet, unless love enters in, it doesn't really have any impact. Right? We can just go through life as if he never came, as if it doesn't have anything to do with me. But the invitation is there. He doesn't push his way in. He's a gentleman. But we can invite him into our very lives and be transformed from the inside out. And be change agents. By his power, we can love all. We can do what we can't do on our own. Because of God's love, what is our response to this? This child who's born. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. There's 1 John 4:8, and then 1 John 4:16. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. God dwells right in us. Again, another miracle, but we can kind of get used to it, right, in church culture. Oh yeah, I got God. Whatever. Cruising through life. Life's pretty good. We love because he first loved us. 1 John's just full of speaking, trying to help us understand this amazing, miraculous, agape love, unconditional. And yet, I think we can become numb to it. My trust in God flows out of the experience of His loving me day in and day out. Whether the day is stormy or fair, whether I'm sick or in good health, whether I'm in a state of grace or disgrace, He comes to me where I live and loves me as I am. Are you experiencing that this morning? My hunch is most of us know it in our heads, but are we experiencing the unconditional love of the Father this morning? Or when we fail, when we give in to sin, do we somehow feel our current experience goes, ooh, I'm outside His love now? Right? What's our current experience of God? Is He really unconditionally loving? For me personally, have we let Him enter in? And are we letting Him enter in? Is that our current and ongoing experience of Almighty God who comes as a babe and is born in a manger? What's your experience of Him this morning? Do we really know this and experience this? Or on a day-to-day basis, sometimes we in, sometimes we out. It's based on how we're acting, how we're thinking, how we're feeling. It's based on something other than the truth of God who says, I've already given my Son. I so loved the world that He gave His Son. And if we letting Him enter in regularly, we need ongoing to understand that we allow Him. He doesn't break down the door, like I said earlier, but He does dwell and abide within. Love enters in. Love came down. Love enters in when we let Him. And love flows through. Here's the love all part. This is the part when we think of love all. But it's in response to God first, and then in response to others. A life of love flows out of a healthy relationship with God. Right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Right? We love because He first loved us. This is the starting point of love all. Love God as He is first. And love people. Love God and love people. And if His love, He flows through us. It's not something that we trump up, we work hard at. Some ways we do, we push through barriers, but it's not about what we're doing. Agape love comes down. Agape love enters in, and it's agape love, God Himself, that flows through us and gives us a genuine love. That doesn't mean we necessarily feel it. Don't equate love with a feeling. When I feel like loving my neighbor, I'm going to. No, He commands us when we feel like it and when we don't feel like it. But He can lead us in it. There's a story, I've heard it told and I've read it in different forms, but it's always an Asian culture where a visitor from outside an Asian culture is visiting there, and they see a group of children playing, and we've got a really young baby right over there in Bethany's arms, and a really young child is on the back, strapped on there, of about an 8-year-old boy, and he's just running in the street in a very impoverished neighborhood, playing with a baby on his back. And this person from North America is intrigued by that he just seems to be playing, doesn't seem to be complaining or overly burdened by this, but from their perspective, they're going, how can this be? So they end up questioning this 8 to 9-year-old child and saying, you seem to be playing quite freely, but how can you do that with such a burden on your back? And with no hesitation whatsoever, this child responds, He's no burden. He's my brother. When it comes to loving all, how often do we slip towards a burden rather than our brother or our sister? We think it's a burden on our back that we come alongside and we get to carry each other's burdens, or we get to encourage one another, love in some sort of way. And yet, from our perspective, our individualistic perspective, we think, wow, that's a big burden to really love my neighbor, or to love my family, or my coworker, or we can just fill in the line. And it shows really where our heart is, right? It says a lot more about us than it does them. He's no burden. He's my brother. And we are all called to be a conduit or a pipeline of the love. Love came down. Love enters in, and love flows through. Right? We're not trying to be a tap here, closing off the love flowing through us. Open the tap wide up and let the love flow through. We're a conduit of God's love to everybody. Everybody around us. Love flows through it. Doesn't mean we run around until we're completely spent. That's not loving. Or freely loving. Jesus took time away. That wasn't sin. He took time away just receiving from his Father. And he left a whole crowd there with a whole bunch of needs. It doesn't mean we're running around trying to meet absolutely every single need. Because Jesus didn't sin, and we can follow his example. In fact, if we're running around trying to do too many things, we're probably more just, it reveals that we haven't really, in an ongoing way, letting God's love enter in. And we're needing the love, the affirmation, the something we're getting from serving people. And so that's what puts our life out of sync. We're running around, not letting love flow through. We're trying to trump it up and bring it up on our own. Love came down. Love enters in. Love flows through. And finally, love fills up. But this is another conditional. When we let him fill us up in an ongoing way, we learn to abide in him as he abides in us. When it's partial or distorted, and we're trying to live safe and comfortable, it becomes a selfish life that we live, rather than a selfless, freeing love that we are able to give, that's flowing through us, as it says here. But love fills up. Got a bucket on a screen there. And it never stops. He never stops flowing. But we can turn it aside. I found this quote based on Galatians. God, give my child love for himself or herself so that he or she can love others. Based on Galatians 5:14. But look at what Galatians 5:14 actually says. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus taught on this as well, right? He's commanding to love all, right? Love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. As yourself. But this isn't a third command here. We think we have to work at loving ourselves. But just like Ephesians 5 says, when it's speaking about marriage and Jesus in the church, he says, love, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And the next verse goes on and says, for no one ever neglects his own body, but he feeds and cares for it. Loving ourselves comes very naturally. It gets distorted in the way we do it. But loving ourselves is not another command, but in essence, feed and take care of those around you. Love all as you are feeding and taking care of yourself already. And we love because He has first loved us. But it's an overflow kind of love. It's not just flowing through only. When you're overwhelmed with the goodness of God to you, you overflow with the goodness of God to others. So if it's not overflowing, it should point out to us that our love meter is broken. We're trying to gauge it and bring it about, not recognizing that our tank is quite empty of the love. And the first ones need to come first. Love came down. That's where it starts. Understanding, grappling with that, realizing how awesome this is that Almighty God came down and crossed that barrier. Love enters in when we let Him. That needs to be step two. We don't just jump to step three. Wow, I'm supposed to love all. Oh man, is this ever hard? No. The first ones come first. And love fills to where we're overflowing because we're not just a conduit only. We're not just a pipeline of God's love. Right? I said at the beginning, and it was in our Advent reading, God has come to be enjoyed. It's out of enjoying Him that we love others, that He flows through as we enjoy Him. But we can't hoard His love. It's as we let Him flow through that we really experience the fullness of God as well. So it's a both end. We let Him flow through, but don't forget to stop and enjoy Him. Really enjoy Him. Is the cup half empty or half full? When God's involved, it's overflowing. But most of us aren't experiencing this. We don't live there usually, do we? We live to some degree depleted, having this burden of, oh, we're supposed to love all. We're supposed to live out these other commands. If you love me, you will obey me. All right, how do I got to obey you? And we want to define it by some rules and things that we should or should not do. And we're missing the point of Christmas. We're missing the point of the Christmas life. Christian life. Love came down. He's a person. Love enters in. Love flows through. It's not us that brings it about. And love fills to the point of overflowing so that we're free to serve, free to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we can even see our neighbors as ourselves if we go to the next picture. We begin to see them. We're not judging them. We're not doing whatever else. We're free to serve them as ourselves because He's so overflowing through us. As we are changed by love, love will change the world through us. He does flow through. There's a couple of summary statements I have up here from a book by Ruth Haley Burton's book, is Strengthen the Soul of Your Leadership, looking at Moses' life observed. Just ponder these statements for a couple minutes. They're written in the context of leadership. I've said before, leadership is influence, so in some senses, we're all leaders. We're influencing those around us. But not just how we influence, but that is a key to it. To loving others is how we're influencing. But where are we at individually? Are we experiencing the fullness of Christ this morning and in our regular life? Here's this first summary. Rather than leading from frenetic busyness, I am leading at a measured pace, taking time to notice the burning bushes in life. Where are you at on that scale this morning? Where are you at in your love meter? How full is your tank? And we've got this little thing at the side to see where we're at. Are we trying to love out of a frenetic busyness? We have to's and we got to's and whatever else is driving us. But we're missing how God wants to speak to us. How he just wants to love you as his daughter. Or love you as his son and meet you right where you're at. Are you noticing the burning bushes? Are you too busy? Or point number two, rather than being subject to other people's expectations and my own inner compulsions, I am operating out of a deep sense of call on my life. Which one? You're just trying to meet other people's demands or your own inner compulsions. Right? I said earlier, if we're running around too busy, it's probably our own need. I need to be thanked. It feels good to serve in this way or that way. But in some way, we're meeting our own need. And that's counter-Christian, counter-biblical. He says, I have come that you may have life to the full. But he's the one who brings it, not primarily in the things we do. Consider those two statements for a minute. Is there a peace there that God is inviting you to this Christmas, to experiencing him differently? Yes, we're commanded to love all, and that's our gauge. How are we loving all? Huh? Do I have a reaction when I don't get thanked? That points out maybe my tank isn't as full as I think it is, and I'm trying to serve out of something else. We're scurrying around people's expectations. We're just weighed down. Jesus is also the one who said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. This is a heavy burden season for many people. Darren said it when he was preaching on giving, getting just the right gift and whatever else. Think about giving differently, giving of ourselves, but not depleting ourselves, because that's not what God calls us to. He's filling us to overflowing, and we can live out of the overflow when we're enjoying love who came down, love who enters in, and love who flows through. And we learn that on this journey, it's constantly that we need to be filled, to be overflowing. Otherwise, we kind of get pumped up a little bit and we go out and serve and we're empty and we're angry and we're done in one way or another with serving and with loving people who are unlovable and whatever else is overwhelming us. But is God inviting you to something more this morning? Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we want to pause before you and give your Spirit an opportunity to speak to us individually, maybe corporately. Are we caught up in doing stuff? And it's not about feeling like doing the stuff necessarily. But there is a freeing, there is a sense of calling about a certainty of you meeting our needs so fully and completely that we don't have to worry about meeting our own needs. We can freely love and unconditionally love to the extent that we are enjoying your free and unconditional love. to the extent we are enjoying you, Jesus, we naturally share you with others. With our hands, with our feet, with our mouths, with whatever else you've put at our disposal that we are stewards of. And yet, God, we all recognize times where we're serving out of something else than the fullness of Christ. We're serving out of compulsion, out of busyness, out of expectation, trying to meet many people's expectations. Father, I pray you would free us this Christmas to enjoy you more fully, and that you would flow through us more and more, and we would truly be able to engage and decide to live out of the calling that we have to love all unconditionally, or as much as we are able in the moment, by your power and by your Spirit. Amen.